Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Rhubarb Brown from the beach. Hey, Josh.
Oh, hello.
He's distracted as usual.
Hello.
And that's JT, the one and only Holton, also at the beach. What's up, JT?
Hi. Hey, can how are you guys? Hear me?
I'm at the beach. I can hear you, buddy. Yeah.
Hey, JT.
So,
hey, Josh.
Which beach are you at, JT?
I'm at Amelia Island. I'm about 40 minutes away from you.
Oh, cool, man.
Just head.
Is Amelia Island East Coast or the Gulf?
East.
Josh, if I'm 40 minutes away from you, it's.
I always thought Amelia Island was on the Gulf. I've never been there.
If you go north up That's 75, crazy. You'll run right into me.
Yeah, I mean, it's only like.
If you just walk the beach, you'll eventually get to me.
I don't even know that it's 40 minutes. You could probably make it even quicker than that, I guess.
Right.
If traffic's cooperating. But anyway, the two knuckleheads agreed to call in for at least a little bit and us to try to do at least one podcast this week with all of us together. And guys, it's been such a hit.
Oh, wow. He is 40 minutes from me. I just looked at the Google Maps.
Oh.
Incredible.
You guys, it's like great minds think alike. It's like great minds think alike, and you just don't know how to get out of each other's way and just go on vacation together. You know, like you just can't do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's so true. What you been doing at the beach? Let's start there.
I've been drinking copious amounts of coconut rum.
Oh.
And whatever that stuff John Foss gave me for Father's Day. And Nikki made me a Bloody Mary. When me and Nikki met, she was a bartender. And so she knows how to make stuff. And so she's made me a Bloody Mary or two.
Oh.
And playing with the kid a lot, too. I got a little wagon. And so I just put her in it. And then, like, I just pull her. And I walk up the beach. And she sits there and laughs at the waves.
Oh, nice. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we did a lot of that. There's a Publix down the road, and everybody's masked up in there, so it was real awkward for me.
Nice.
And then when I was walking around, I heard on the overhead, it was like a movie scene. I'm walking around, and on the overhead, you hear this voice go, "Welcome, Villanoa Beach Publix shoppers." Or wherever we are.
Volano Beach?
If you can please... Yeah, Volano, that's it. If you can please use face coverings while shopping, it would be much appreciated as we are trying to be respectful of others. And also, please use the one-way signs down the aisles. And I'm like walking the wrong way, I guess. I'm
you
like,
oh my rebel, God. You hardcore you see, rebel.
You see people... You see everybody in their masks just like stop and like start walking. And
do they collaborate
the perfect way they're supposed to walk in.
After that?
Dude, it was so creepy, man. It's so creepy. But I feel bad for St. Augustine. He went to lunch today, and it's kind of dead. A lot of the businesses down here have really been struggling. It's sad. It's a beautiful day. It's Monday on the beach, and you'd think it'd be a hustling and bustling, but it's dead.
Yeah.
The weekend was really busy, but today and tonight has been dead in St. Augustine.
Unlike actual people in America, it's been kind of dead. Yeah. I mean, 100%. Anyway, <Yep. laughs> JT, how about you, man? What you been up to?
I went fishing today, which was fun.
I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah, I befriended a fishing captain down here, Danny Flynn. His website is fishamiliaisland.com. He doesn't pay me to say that, but there's a plug. He's the best guy around. So if you're vacationing around the Fernandina Beach, Amelia Island area. Anyway, yeah, so My man Danny Flynn took us out in the boat and caught a big redfish, hooked a shark at one point, which is pretty cool. It snapped my line. It was an 80-pound test line, so it was like a 100-pound shark. One of the rods is just bent over, and it's just running, like just going. And he's like, "That's a shark, grab it." And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "That's a giant shark." And I'm like, "I thought he's joking. I think he's joking. Like, it's not a giant shark. It's 150 yards out in like 5 seconds." And I'm fighting this thing and working. And I got to about 75 yards, and the thing just snapped the line right in two. Had to be about 100 pounds. It was like the craziest thing I've ever felt. Like,
holy crap.
Yeah, I was trying not to lose the guy's rod because, yeah, I felt like I was Captain Quint in Jaws. It was awesome.
I went shark fishing one time down at Jekyll. We caught a bunch, bonnetheads and a few black tips, and they get pretty good size. My dad caught one. I think it was like, I don't know, it was probably like 50 to 60 pounds, something like that. It was pretty good size, you know. I mean, nothing gigantic, but it was enough to know you had a good fight. We caught one little hammerhead. That was pretty cool.
Any fish that big will wear you out trying to reel it in. Like, you don't understand. Like, if you hear 50 pounds, you're like, "I can pick up 50 pounds. That's no problem. You know, my kid's 50 pounds. No big deal." No, it's different when it's a live animal underwater. 50 pounds of muscle
in the water. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah,
it's totally that redfish I caught, I think it was about 16 pounds, and that joker was strong. You know, I mean, that's it's fun, and it was delicious food, and
you've already cooked it. I'm so jealous. Like, I wish I was at the beach right now.
And I had filleted it up and cooked it with some cheese grits, some green beans, and some shrimp I got from the marina. And
my gosh.
Good to go.
I'm so jealous right now. You know what I had for supper? I had a Little Debbie cake. That's been my supper so far. But I did make some really amazing enchiladas this weekend that I'm going to have to make next time you guys come down. They were fantastic. Like cornbread in the bottom of a cast iron skillet. Oh.
Yeah,
and you let it cook like 20 minutes. Then you pour enchilada sauce over the top of it. And then I sauteed like some Anaheim peppers and some bell peppers and mixed in ground beef and stirred all that together. I think it has a little bit of garlic cloves and a little onion in it. Mixed all that together, sauteed it up, put it on, covered all that with cheese, and then stuck it back in the oven for 20 minutes, covered with a piece of tinfoil. And then like the last 3 to 5 minutes, I took the tinfoil off and broiled it and like let it crisp up real good. Oh my God. I'm not a big Mexican food eater, but oh my God, that was good. Woo. It's fantastic. So I'm a little,
Hot
damn.
You guys got to get that when we come back. You know, guys, it's been a lot of fun, and maybe we can do like, I don't know. We'll see how far this goes tonight, but I've really been enjoying the Guess That Brave and Stump the Chumps. And, so I didn't want to miss
Nikki
out.
Nikki loves Guess That Brave.
I didn't want to miss out.
Nikki said she listened. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
You're good.
I was just saying Nikki loved that episode, that segment that you did.
Okay, cool.
The Guess That Brave episode.
Okay.
The segment.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tonight I have one. All right. Okay. Are you guys ready to play Guess That Brave?
Let's do it.
Yes.
All right. So this baseball player, former Atlanta Brave, won Rookie of the Year, was a 3-time All-Star, and had a gold glove. Name that Brave. And remember, for those of you who may not have tuned into the previous episodes, when we say name that Brave, it will be an Atlanta Brave after 1990 at some point. For now, and
Rafael Furcal.
It is not Rafael Furcal. Thanks, Josh, for not even asking a question. JT, you're up.
Did he win the Rookie of the Year with the Braves?
No, he did not.
Figured. Is it Raul Mondesi?
It is not Raul Mondesi. Josh, to you.
Can you repeat the clue?
I can add another clue. How about that? This former Atlanta Brave is, let's see, he's 5'11" and 150 pounds.
Okay.
Or at least so he was.
He won a gold glove. Is that what you said?
Yes, he's won a gold glove.
and he won a Rookie of the Year, but not with the Braves.
Yep.
150 pounds. He's feed this man.
Oh, I know who it is. Did this player manage the Colorado Rockies?
I do not think so. No.
No.
Is it Walt Weiss?
It is not Walt Weiss.
I knew where you were going.
Damn it. Damn it.
I was like making sure this person wasn't an assistant and I didn't know about it or something, but no, it's definitely not Walt Weiss.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Okay.
5'11", 150.
5'11",
150. That's a skinny drink of water.
Was this player a second baseman?
This player with the Atlanta Braves was not a second baseman, as far as I'm aware. I will double check that, but I do not believe he was.
I would guess somebody of that size, either they're a center fielder.
Did this? Okay.
Or an outfield. I get a guess, Joshua.
Yeah, oh no, he gosh, was.
I'm going through my brain of rookie of the years.
He was not. His primary position was not second base. No.
Is it Edgar Renteria?
It is not Edgar Renteria. Joshua.
Oh, good guess, though.
That is a good guess. That is a good, strong guess. Let me add a new clue here, too.
Okay.
This former Atlanta Brave had a 16-year major league career.
Hmm.
Did this player have really great eyes?
Kevin Kiermaier did not play for the Braves.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay, so it's not Marcotte.
Another good set of eyes.
So, great eyes. Um, 5'11", 150. Rookie of the Year. Not second base. Is it Terry Pendleton?
It is not Terry Pendleton. Thank you. Thank you for the guess, but it is not Terry Pendleton.
That was a bad guess, by the way, because 5'11", 150 is definitely not
Terry Pendleton. Pendleton's never been 5'11" and 150 in his life. All right. Well, no. What about you, JT Holden?
5'9", 250, then maybe.
Yeah.
Let's see. Was this player an infielder?
He was, correct.
Thought so. Oh boy. My goodness. Not Renteria. Not Walt Weiss. I'm trying to think of Rookie of the Year that was that small. That's not a very big guy.
Nope.
16 years. That's quite a long career, too.
It is. It's quite a long career. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do,
goodness do, gracious. Do, I don't think of any other. I mean, golly, I'm trying to think of anybody.
Am I going to be able to stump the chumps 2 weeks in a row?
No. No. We're not,
not
no.
With this. If he was Rookie of the Year and you said a 3-time All Star and a Gold Glove winner, I mean, he's significant. And he's not Bill Pakoda. I mean, he'd have a bigger name than that.
Bill Pakoda. Hey, Bill Pakoda has a stat named after him. Come on.
Hey, that's good for Bill Pakoda. Golly. It's not Jeff Blauzer. Let me just throw Jeff Blauzer.
No, it is not Jeff Blauzer. Strong guess, but no, I don't think Jeff Blauzer was ever 5'11", 150 either. Blauzer, while not a big guy, Blauzer was probably bigger than 150, wasn't he?
Y'all already guessed probably for all Mondesi or somebody, right?
Yes, that guess has already been made.
Because I knew Mondesi was a Rookie of the Year. That's the only reason I threw that out there.
All right. Let's see here. Let's see. That would totally give it away. I'm not going to do that. In his career, he accumulated 1,764 hits, but of them, only 28 home runs.
Only 28 home runs? What? What?
Mm-hmm. But he did have 619 RBI.
Okay, I've got a question.
Yes.
Did he win the Rookie of the Year award in the American League or the National League?
In the American League.
Really? That throws a wrench in everything. And it wasn't Walt Weiss?
It was not Walt Weiss. Nope. Bitch. I just like that I've stumped the chumps yet again.
And he played for the Braves.
He played for Atlanta for 2 years.
For 2 years?
2 years.
Are you sure?
I am positive. I'm looking at it right this moment.
All right. Do I get another question or do I get a, I have to guess?
You get a guess. You don't get another question right now.
I get a guess.
Ken. Yes, just a all guess.
Right. Is it Eric Kinski?
It is not Eric Kinski.
Oh, my gosh. How?
When has Eric Kinski ever been close to 5'11"?
I don't know. He played for the Braves and I know he won the
second grade.
Eric Kinski probably weighed like 260, 270, 280, 310. I don't know. He was a big boy.
Let me ask you this. Did this guy win a World Series not as a player but as a manager?
He did.
It's Ozzie Guillen.
It is Ozzie Guillen, JT. Yes. Way to go, Ozzie Guillen.
I remember. Ozzie Guillen.
Wait, when did Ozzie Guillen play for the Braves?
98 and 99.
Wait, what?
He played.
Totally. In 1998,
he played 83 games, and in 1999, he played in 92 games. Both years, 1 year, 295 plate appearances, the other 255 plate appearances.
I am floored. I'm embarrassed that I forgot about that.
I knew you would be, and I love that you are. It just makes it so wonderful when I actually kind of stump the chumps. I'm surprised JT even pulled it out. That was the hint that
no
I couldn't
one ever
give.
Talked like, about him playing for the like Braves.
If I touch his managerial stuff, like everything was out the window, you know, I couldn't say like this controversial manager, like you instantly know who it is.
Yeah.
Did this man have an unhealthy appreciation for a brutal dictator?
Right.
I love Ozzie.
Oh man. Yeah. Ozzie, they've got like their own little podcast now. It's kind of fun. I don't know if you've heard it, but anyway, yeah.
Ozzie Guillen has his own podcast.
Yeah. It's called The Guillens, I think. It's like him and like three other baseball playing Guillens.
Like,
some of his
like Jose. Jose is like his brother, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I just remember him playing for the White Sox when I was a kid because I probably mixed up with my thousands that's worth nothing and he's wearing a White Sox uni. Oh my gosh, man.
I think this was right by the end of his career, because obviously, I mean, he won the World Series in, 2006 with the White Sox, 2005, something like that. So
he was only 30, was like he was 34
right
and 35.
Tail end of his career. And I know he was
Braves.
I mean,
that's not
first or third base coach, but somebody, too.
I guess this is in baseball years.
Yeah.
Man, we're old.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Ready for another one? Now, this one, I will upfront say it's more difficult, okay? I'm just throwing it out there.
So
it's more difficult.
This guy did not win a World Series with the Chicago White Sox.
This former Atlanta Braves pitcher, I will tell you that, this former Atlanta Braves pitcher graduated high school from Evangelical Christian High School in Germantown, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know he a conservative.
Or at least he grew up the right way.
Well, he plays baseball, right? I mean, vast majority of it.
I'm sorry.
All right. Tell me more.
We got a live audience here.
You get to roll first this week, JT, this time.
Okay. Big pitcher, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Okay. Was this man a member of the 1995 World Series team?
He was not as far as – no, definitely not.
Okay.
We'll go with Chris Hamill.
That is incorrect. Josh, on to you.
Threw one out there.
Did this person – no. Is this person famous for his knuckleball?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay.
Definitely not. All right. All right, new clue. Wait.
I get a guess, right?
Oh, okay. You get a guess. You get a guess. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Guess away.
Or you can give me a clue. You give me a clue, and then I get a guess.
Nope, guess first.
All right. He graduated from Evangelical Christian in Germantown, Tennessee, and he played for the Braves. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
He pitched for the Braves? Is that what he said?
He did. Yes, he pitched for the Braves.
Okay. Germantown, Tennessee. And it's not already Dickey. Trying to think of a Tennessee boy. Tennessee boy.
La 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 la.
Is it Mike Hampton? He's not a country boy, is he?
It's not. It is not Mike Hampton, but that is a good guess. That is a good guess. JT, here is your next clue, sir.
Okay.
This former Atlanta Braves pitcher is very well known amongst MLB people for having worn a flat bill on his baseball cap.
Is it Chris Medlin?
It is not Chris Medlin. I appreciate the guess, but no, that is not who this is.
He does wear the
This
flat
one is
bill.
Hard.
He does.
How is it not Chris Medlin?
Anytime I pull out a pitcher, and you're going to assume that it's, unless it's an obvious pitcher, they're going to be more difficult. But I make sure that there's somebody that actually pitched a lot for the Braves. There's somebody.
It's more difficult.
They pitched,
it's not Chris
this
Medlin,
person
but he's
pitched
known
in
for
enough
his
games
flat.
That you should.
It's known, yes. He's known for his flat bill.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is this person black?
This person is not black. No.
Okay, this black guy.
Josh being stumped is one of the sweetest sounds in the world. I don't know if our listeners out there can fully appreciate when Josh has no clue what he's guessing at, but it's fantastic feeling as a producer of this podcast, and it's just, I love it when he is incapable of even being close to the right answer.
You're the worst.
It's okay. I know, I'm terrible.
Flat bill, and he's known amongst the players for the flat bill, but it's not Chris Medlin. Because Chris Medlin was known for the flat
bill. Yes, I know, Josh. It's not Chris Medlin. It's not Chris Medlin.
But I think if, like, he started
more
it, though.
More than one person can be known.
He started
no,
the
more
flat
than one
bill.
Person can be known for something. Huh? We'll see. Yeah.
Fernando Rodney doesn't count because he didn't play for the Braves. And he had the cockeye, the sideways thing. Which turns out because his dad did it to keep the sun out of his eyes when he was fishing. Oh. Flat bill. And is it Jair Jurgens?
It is not Jair Jurgens. Good guess, though, Josh. JT, this baseball pitcher is left-handed. He had a 3.77 career ERA. He was an all-star, and he was so well known for the brim of his cap that he was nicknamed the Brim Reaper.
It's a great name.
By Kevin Millar.
By Kevin Millar.
The Brim Reaper?
Puts a little time frame on it.
The Brim Reaper.
Okay, and wait. We're talking about post-1990?
Did
we trade... If this is Babe Ruth, I'm going to drive to your house and kick your ass. This is Babe Ruth.
It's not Babe Ruth, Josh.
I would not call Babe Ruth.
I would not abuse anyone before 1990. I set the rules, dude. I'm not going to cheat.
Okay. Okay.
Did we once trade? Was this player acquired for a dozen bats and two dozen baseballs?
No.
No. So it's not Kerry Lighten.
It is not Kerry Lightenberg. All right. Back to Joshua, since JT has given up his guess. This, because you've asked, he was once traded for third baseman Josh Bell and pitcher Steve Johnson, but not for the Braves.
Oh. The good Josh Bell?
Oh, actually, let's see. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Not the Josh Bell.
So the one that plays for the Pirates.
Now.
For the Pirates.
All right. Did this player have a beard?
This player had a goat. He had a goatee.
He was traded for Josh Bell?
Yeah. not the Josh Bell of current, but he was traded by the Braves, apparently. Let's see.
So this is like, yeah. This got to be
no, 90s. Not by the Braves. No, not by the Braves. He was not traded by the Braves. He was traded for two prospects, third baseman Josh Bell and pitcher Steve Johnson.
Okay.
That really panned out.
We're going to get five more minutes of Josh going,
He sounds like he just got done drinking a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
He was known for his flat bill.
That's the sound of a Josh not knowing who to guess. I hate you so much right now, man. Stump the chump. Here, I'll give you an extra tip since it's to you, Josh. This pitcher appeared in 47 games for the Atlanta Braves. Now, as a pitcher, that's a significant amount. 47 games.
That is a significant number.
What? Listen, everyday Johnny Venter says that's like 2 months for everyday Johnny Venter.
As a clue, he was a teammate of everyday really? Johnny Venter.
Oh.
Yeah. But this is the one person from that team that you guys will not name.
I got a guess.
Okay. Fire away, JT.
Is it Mike Dunn?
It is not Mike Dunn. Good guess,
though.
Good guess, though.
All right. Well, I'm going to claim victory. I am claiming victory.
I got one more guess.
Okay. Fire away. Your last guess.
Mike Gonzalez.
Good guess.
It is not Mike Gonzalez. Oh,
okay.
I have stumped jumps yet again with the one, the only, George Sherrill.
George Sherrill. Yes, he was a closer. He was a closer for the Orioles.
Yes, he was.
I forgot all about George Sherrill.
Yes. He actually had a fairly decent George career Sherrill. For a closer. He for a relief pitcher, he put up 5.2 WAR over his career. I mean, that's pretty decent for a closer. That's, you know, just saying. Because his career was 9 years, but I think out of that, he only really pitched like 7 to 8, you know, if you really get down to it. So, yeah. Anyway, George Sherrill. Wow.
George Sherrill. He was one of those guys where you end up like trading for a guy and you think he's good because he acquired like a bunch of saves just through happenstance in like a year. So I think he was like a 40 plus save guy in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Like, I think he had a pretty good amount of saves. And you're like, oh, he must be really awesome. But no, I mean, sometimes you can just have a decent year and find your way into like a bunch of saves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. He actually did have a pretty fair run at Baltimore and then went to the Dodgers and, in that trade that was mentioned, then he ended up signing a 1-year deal with Atlanta. But in that year, a lot of people remember that is Oviral year, I believe it was. I believe O'Flaherty was on that team, wasn't he? I think he was. Yes, it was. That was the year of Oviral. But Sherrill made 47 appearances. Flaherty had 75 appearances. Venter's 82, and Kimbrel 75. Scott Linebrink had 62. And then George Sherrill, 47. Yeah. I almost went with Scott Linebrink, but I don't think you would have thought of him either. Anyway.
Would not. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I try not to pull too many relievers because I feel like that's a little cheap. I'll be honest. It's a little cheap to pull a reliever because they tend to play for so many different teams. But
yeah, but we remember them, though. Once you say them, we know who you're talking about. It's not like we've never heard of the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yep. The problem is I can't like just pull out like if I went somebody obvious like Michael Bourne, you're gonna figure that one out pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? Like
some of that Josh, kind of stuff. Is there a domestic dispute going on in the background?
I think so, yeah. I'm just trying to ignore it. Just trying to live my life over here.
I thought it was just a frat party. I figured Josh had like moved next door and was in with a bunch of sorority frat boys already.
My life.
And teaching his daughter how to keg stand already. I'm just,
you know. I think it's at Marcelo Zuna's house. I heard someone yell, "Why'd you hit me with that soup dish?"
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Oh man. Hey, fellas, the Braves played a baseball game tonight. I know you guys didn't get to watch it, but I did. It was actually kind of fun. They played against each other, but Mike Soroka looked fantastic. Ozzie Albies looked solid. Josh Tomlin, guys, do you remember last year before the season started when I told you that I thought Josh Tomlin was going to play an important role for the Atlanta Braves? Do you remember that, Josh?
Kenny, it's a scrimmage game. It's an inter-squad game.
No.
So if you're
listening to what I said? Do you remember last year when I talked about Josh Tomlin?
He did. He's hot. He drives a pickup truck. He looks hot.
Yeah.
He wears
He's going to be a important part this year, too. And he looked pretty solid tonight. He gave up
It's a squad game.
To Darno. Yes, Josh, it's a squad game. They play baseball in a week and a half.
I don't care.
I'm at least paying attention to it.
I don't care.
I know you don't care. You're at the beach. I wouldn't care if I was at the beach either. But it was a lot of fun. Christian Pache hit a double that almost was a homer.
I don't believe that.
And then he kind of jammed his ankle. But
I mean, it's fun to see, to be able to tune in and relax and kick back on the couch and watch some of your favorite baseball players play with themselves. You know, that's something you don't get see very often. And
it's a very voyeur thing.
Kenny gets off on it, apparently.
I have to be 100% honest. It was a lot of fun because the whole game was over in almost 2 hours. It was like fantastic.
That sounds amazing.
There was no stupid long commercial breaks, and it was just, you know, just simple, quick baseball game. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun to watch. Speaking of which, I don't know if you guys saw it. Adam Duvall coming out. He's going to play. He is a high risk player with his type 1 diabetes and all that fun stuff. But Adam Duvall sat down with David O'Brien this week and said, you know, he's all systems go. He feels like it's an important time for America, that Americans need baseball with everything going on, and that he's all set for it, which is kind of cool seeing how, you know, Boggy's highlighted this before. He's a type 1 diabetic, and diabetics have the hardest time with COVID. So it's kind of interesting. I would not have been surprised had Duvall opted out, but this is a great opportunity for him.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody's got a built-in excuse to opt out, I don't think anybody would question Adam Duvall saying, hey, guys, you know, I'm just going to wait this one out. You know, but so hopefully this pays off for him. I mean, I don't want to see Adam Duvall come down sickness, you know, because
like
he's disturbed. He's going to be down with the sickness.
Down with the sickness? Yeah.
Oh, wow. But he did use my term, hungry for baseball. The fans are hungry for baseball.
He's obviously a listener, JT. It's 100%.
He's outed himself as a Nakahoma listener. But no, I mean, Duvall's going to be a huge part of this team. I mean, for what we got Adam Duvall from, like,
yeah,
I can't think of a better value that we've gotten over the last couple of years that since Anthopoulos has taken over. Oh, see, they love the show over there. There you go, laughing out loud.
Josh is still in the show to everyone. Yeah.
But can you think of a better guy that we've acquired for dirt cheap than Adam Duvall? I mean, the dude helped us win playoff games. I mean, literally, we won a playoff game strictly because of Adam Duvall. I mean, that's, you know, his accomplishments with the team and his, you know, what he's given to the team has been huge. So having him as part of this outfield is going to be tremendous, especially with Nick Markakis opting out. That's going to be so much better to have Adam Duvall here.
Yeah, for sure. And he's a guy that's got some power and some pop, he's going to get some playing time because he plays a solid defense too. You know, no matter what, he's going to play. And this year is going to be a little weird, man. I mean, Jerome Drinovich was talking about it. Paul Byrd, they were calling the game tonight, and they were talking about it. And they said, what happens if you go through the entire season, you got like a 5-game lead going into the last week, and then suddenly 2 or 3 of your starters get COVID, you know, or get exposed, and they have like a 14-day shutdown, and you have to go into the playoffs with basically triple-A pitchers, you know? And that's the reality, and that's kind of wild, you know? That's the way this could happen.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves have a lot of outfield depth, but it could become real thin real quick.
Very quick, yeah.
And, hey, I think Drew Waters and Christian Pache have a bright future ahead of them. Are we ready to be relying on them come the playoff push?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We may find ourselves in that situation.
I kind of like the idea that these young guys are going to be forced to have an opportunity to play. You know, that should be a lot of fun to get to see some of the young guys. It sounds like they're going to piggyback some of the starters. So you'll see Soroka pitch and then Tomlin come in right behind him, especially early in the season where they're like, they're not planning to give Soroka, but maybe 3, 4, 5 innings early on and then immediately bring in a guy right behind him to pitch 2 or 3 more, you know, to try to save the bullpen and also save the arms on those starters. It's going to be a weird year with the way the 40/60 man pool works and all that kind of stuff. So looking forward to it. We'll try to dive into baseball a little bit more next week. Once you guys are back home and we can talk about things without Josh's neighbors, bomb, you know, like photo bombing the podcast. Last week we talked about the Hall of Fame, Josh, and how we wanted to change some rules. I don't want to rehash all of that but the main thing we talked about was that there were impact guys that we wanted to see get into the Hall of Fame that did not make it there. So what I wanted to do tonight was, rather than like rehash everything, what I wanted to do was I wanted to talk about some of the guys that you guys felt like you would make it in that haven't, because I think that's kind of an important part of the story. And I don't know. I think that's I think it'd be fun to talk about. So with that being said, Josh, who are a few of the people that you talked about that you felt like would make it in?
Well, I like that we're talking about this further, because I think baseball fans like me, were so programmed with the way it's been done for years and years and years. So when I mentioned on Twitter that I mentioned, you know, what JT said, how we should expand it and let people that are just high impact guys get in. I mentioned some players. Several people were like, "He's not a Hall of Famer." And like, I'm like, I know, but like, according to this new, our new patented system, they wouldn't be. And people are so programmed to think a certain way. This is almost like a religion, guys. This is like, this is like if we were in some kind of religion and we were trying to bring forth like some new amendment or belief system to add on to our religion. Because baseball is serious, you know? This is some serious stuff we're talking about. But with all that said, I had mentioned it, Ken, I think you mentioned his name on the front porch that night, and that's when it just really clicked for me, along with what JT said. But to me, like, Tim Lincecum is such a great poster child of this movement, because he's a World Series winner. I think he won 3, maybe? A Cy Young, or maybe 2 Cy Youngs? And for 5 or 6 years, he was just the man. He was all over the place. Every kid wanted to be Tim Lincecum, and I just think he's a glowing example of just a really, really, really high impact guy, as JT talks about. And it's, you know, a guy that's kind of recent in history, so you can kind of still remember the freak and what things were going on, you know, during those times. So yeah, Tim Lincecum for me. Another guy for me would be, and this sounds kind of silly, but look at his stats. And I mean, I think he would fall into our new way of thinking here, but Josh Hamilton, I want to say 5 or 6 years, he was just the man. And every kid wanted to be Josh Hamilton, dude. Like, when the Fatheads came out, like, he was one of the guys, him and like Buster Posey, maybe, like, they were so, every kid wanted to be Josh Hamilton for about 5 or 6 years. So, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a guy you don't really think about as being like, he had a really good career. Like, he kind of did have a good career.
Yeah, he totally did. A few names I had thought of, and I remember mentioning one of them, I think I mentioned it on the podcast, was Johan Santana. You know, a guy that was just incredibly dominant and probably should be in the Hall of Fame anyway, but his career was kind of short. You know, it wasn't like a super, super long career because of some injuries once he got with the Mets. Imagine that. But a few other names I thought of, Don Mattingly. How is Don Mattingly not in the Hall of Fame? How is Donnie Baseball not there? You know, Josh, you mentioned Ryan Howard. Mark Teixeira should totally be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Dave Parker, Tim Hudson, we talked about him. Fred McGriff, of course. I'll tell you one, JT, and this one for me was like one of the biggest question marks, And that was Deion Sanders should be in the Hall of Fame. He's probably, like Bo Jackson, and that's another name we could talk about.
Yes, Deion Sanders is a great, what a great example.
Yeah, because he's a two-sport player, and he's probably the best two-sport player to ever play baseball.
Yeah, and he's Neon Deion, Bo Jackson, and he revolutionized Hotlanta. Yeah, man.
Yeah, like Bo Jackson would have probably been better, but Bo had such a short career, so I don't know if you could put him in the Hall of Fame based off his short, short career in baseball. But, man, Deion, though, for me, Deion was such an impact player, you know. But, yeah. Those are a few of the names I was thinking of. Josh, you had mentioned Doc Gooden.
Doc Gooden, for sure.
And
Fernando Valenzuela.
And JT, I think. Yeah.
How's Fernando?
I think JT, you mentioned Todd Helton.
Todd Helton, yeah.
Yeah, Todd Helton to me is an easy one because I think it comes down to not only structuring the admittance to the Hall of Fame, but also the Hall of Fame, like the building, the museum itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe you make a sanctuary. Maybe you make a. Like the Holy of Holies on the inside, where the Babe Ruths and the Hank Aarons and the Mickey Mantles go, you know?
Right.
And then you can tour off and say, hey, I want to see the Colorado Rockies wing because we're from Denver. We're big Rockies fans. Well, that's where you can find Todd Helton in there, because if you say the Hall of Fame is about telling the story of baseball, well, if you get to the chapter on the Colorado Rockies, how do you tell it without Todd Helton, who probably is their most important player of all time? You can make an argument for Larry Walker.
Yeah.
But how can you say he's not a Hall of Famer? And I get, look, there are things like jersey retirements for the Rockies and the Rockies Ring of Honor, whatever they do there. You know, the Braves have a Hall of Fame. It doesn't mean that everybody in the Braves Hall of Fame should automatically be a Hall of Famer overall.
No, right.
But I think that would be a really cool way to design it. So that way you can include unique stories like Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson's the only guy with an artificial body part to ever hit a home run in a Major League Baseball game.
Total Hall of Famer.
That's pretty significant and pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just neat. You know, Todd Helton, you can't tell the story of the Colorado Rockies without talking about Todd Helton. So to me, he should be included for the same reason Dale Murphy should be in the Hall of Fame. You can't tell the story of the 1980s Braves without talking about Dale Murphy.
Yeah.
I mean, just
another good way to think about it, I'm trying to help our listeners because this is so foreign. Again, this is like a religion. This is crazy for a lot of traditional baseball fans.
Yeah, this is going against everything baseball is built on.
For sure.
Baseball is so built on numbers that they forget about the fame aspect of the Hall of Fame.
Another way to think about it is, think about guys who have had, like, their own 30 for 30s. So, like, Rafael Palmeiro, Will Clark, they should be Hall of Famers. Those guys were huge impact guys. Doc Gooden, obviously.
Yeah. You almost said his name there, but a guy I think gets overlooked through a lot of baseball history. Tell the story of the Chicago Cubs and try not to bring up Mark Grace.
Great one.
Mark Grace had more hits than anybody throughout the 1990s. Overshadowed a lot by Sammy Sosa, but Mark Grace, all he did was show up to the ballpark and hit baseball.
Yeah.
And during the steroid boom of the 1990s, no one had more hits than Mark Grace. That's pretty dang impressive.
Absolutely.
And Mark Grace had a lot of fans. And I believe, did he win the World Series with the Cubs? Was he on the Diamondbacks in 2001? I think he might have been on their roster.
Oh, wow. Maybe? So, I forgot he went to the Diamondbacks.
To me, Mark Grace would be a Hall of Famer. And Don Mattingly, the only
Don
thing
Mattingly's
that
a great
him
example.
Out of the Hall of Fame is if he had played like two more years, he retired in 95. So he would have been in the start. If he could hang on three more years, he'd have collected a couple of World Series with the start of the Yankees dynasty there. So just bad timing for Don Mattingly. But that shouldn't
Donnie
penalize
Baseball,
him.
Total Hall
you
of Famer.
You know, if you're Hall of Fame worthy, if you're famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then I have questions about guys. I think a lot of pitchers I would put in that had tighter careers but didn't get there overall. Josh Johnson for the Florida Marlins. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Like, he had such a short career. So he pitched 9 years, but he put up 24.3 WAR. Like, this little bitty short career. And if you look at it, it was even less than 9 years because he didn't pitch all those years.
That's crazy.
Full tilt. Like, actually, you could take off almost three of those years, he didn't even hardly pitch, you know. I mean, like Josh Johnson for me, like I look at him and that dude's he was a stud, you know.
Yeah,
right. He holds like almost all of Miami's records in pitching. He has the highest right. WAR pitchers. He has the most walks and hits per innings pitched. His combined, he has the best WHIP, is what it comes down to, of qualified pitchers. You know,
now somebody may be critical of this and say, "Hey, does that benefit you to have a career that was good but cut short by injuries instead of being a guy like, say, a teammate of Josh Johnson's, AJ Burnett, uh-huh. who had a couple good years, but he had a longer career, but was then maybe just pretty much average for a longer stretch of the time."
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's kind of the difference between, you know, in music, and maybe the difference between the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. The Beatles were only together about a decade, and they cranked out a bunch of hits.
Right.
The Rolling Stones cranked out a bunch of hits, too, but they also had time to put out a bunch of crap because they were together right. for 45, 50 years.
Right, right.
So there are different ways it goes about it, because this sounds foreign to baseball, but in other sports, they do this all the time. The NFL doesn't expect you to have an 18-year career.
Mm-hmm.
So you see guys like Terrell Davis, Gale Sayers, right. who's thought of as one of the all-time greats. These are guys that played 8 or 9 years in the league. They kind of understand, hey, this is football. It's going to be a shorter career. The same with the right. NBA, same with hockey. Baseball is the only one that's like, hey, you got to hang around a long time and acquire numbers.
But that doesn't make sense when we know Tommy John's right. so prevalent, when we know injuries pop up.
Sure.
Like, sometimes guys are just amazing. Like, you know what? I would give
we don't hold Sandy Koufax to that standard.
I would have to give serious consideration to Dontrell Willis. Like, this is a guy that he was at the top of his game. He was great, and then he got hurt, you know, and he was never the same guy again. You know, like, I would have to think about it, but in his short time, he put up 19.7 WAR. You know what I mean? It was solid, you know? And then other yeah. questions I'd have is, like,
to me, he's a Hall of Famer over Josh Johnson all day.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't see Josh Johnson, but, I mean, strong case. I like that we're thinking outside the box, but definitely Dontrell Willis.
Matt Cain might be a guy to look at. I don't yeah. know where his WAR is, but he's a guy that's really comparable to Josh Johnson, a big power overcoming right-hander, won a couple World Series with the Giants, and then all of a sudden, it just wasn't there anymore. All of a sudden, he just wasn't a very good pitcher. Mm-hmm. He had a short life, but in that span, man, Cain and Lincecum, that was quite the duo in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys probably won two as far as best pitchers in the National League for a time there. And,
right.
And I think there's if you have a segment, whether he's a season to three seasons, somewhere in there where you're in the top three, you're in the conversation for best player at your position.
Yeah.
I mean, that should weigh something. You know, you can't be any more fame worthy than being the best player at your position. And maybe it was only 3 years, maybe it was 15 years. But if you're the best player at the top, the pinnacle of your sport, that has to count for something.
Right. I agree. And then the interesting one, fellas, and we'll kind of end on this one. What would you do with people like Jose Fernandez?
I think you put him in the Hall of Fame. I know that sounds weird. I mean, that sounds crazy. That like, should be probably not even worthy. But we're totally rethinking this. In my perfect world, after JT changed my life that night, I see like a 20-man committee or 20 man and woman committee, 20 people. And I was trying to explain this new philosophy on Twitter to someone who's just really analytical, you know, kind of like your stereotypical like Braves blogger who we like to tease, but like this, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he's like, well, what are the parameters? What are the, you know, what are the thresholds, you know? And I'm like, honestly, like the perfect way to do it, in my opinion, is there's not a perfect way. Something happens and a guy retires and you have a meeting and these 20 people meet every year and it's not all about the numbers, but sometimes it is all about the numbers. If you're Trevor Hoffman, it's all about the numbers because no kid ever wanted to really be Trevor Hoffman unless they lived in San Diego. And you know what I mean? So sometimes it's all about the numbers, sometimes it's not. And so I forget where I was going with this.
Yeah. No, but to your point, though, Trevor Hoffman did have a lot of numbers.
Right.
But if I asked you who threw probably the best changeup in Major League Baseball history, you'd be like, oh, Trevor Hoffman. It just comes up. He's known for something.
Right.
You know, if I said, if you said split finger fastball, you go, oh, that's Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
You know, if you have something that you can claim as yours, something you're known for, that goes a long way. Birth because my dad and I will have these arguments. He will call and just bitch and complain because guys like Harold Baines get in, and baseball rewards luck. You have to be lucky to have a 20-year career.
Yeah.
Now you have to keep yourself in shape and like eat right and you know take care of your body, but also you just have to hope like you know you don't tear your ACL twice or have two Tommy John surgeries or there's a certain amount of luck. And for I hate to hate on a guy like Harold Baines, but look, if you can play 20 years, you're going to acquire a lot of stats without ever being great. And at the end of the career, you're just going to pile up a bunch of numbers that hit all the parameters that were built into thinking make you a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, you just, hey, eventually you got 3,000 hits. Like, okay, then you must be a Hall of Famer. Well, really? I mean, why is that such a doctrine that we believe in? Guys, why has that become such an accepted way of thinking?
You know, the one guy that I would put in the Hall of Fame, guys, and this would be controversial because a lot of people aren't going to like it, but he is accumulated numbers over a super long career, but I think it says something. Julio Franco should be in the Hall of Fame. He's a three-time All-Star.
He
won a batting title. He was an All-Star MVP, and he had five silver sluggers.
I think he had over 2,000 hits, too. Maybe more than that. Maybe 2,500. Stupid like that.
He played for 12 different baseball teams.
Yeah.
And his career WAR is 43.6. Like, that's right up there. WAR-wise, that's right up there with the best, you know? A career 298 batting average, 153 home runs. I mean, that's 281 stolen bases, you know?
How many career hits?
Hits total? He had 2,586.
Look at that. Over 2,500 really hits, dude. Was
used as a bench player like the last 10 years of his career, probably, you know?
if you play devil's advocate, if you divided the hits by the seasons played, it's not as impressive.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, if he's any good, why did he play for 12
years? I'm getting chastised. Sure. I got to go in a second. Like, okay. Hey, back to Jose Fernandez real quick, though. The way I would explain that is in the current system, if they inducted him now, I would be salty, even though I love Jose Fernandez. But
yeah,
sure. But it would be under the current set of rules, if they just knowing that they won't elect people like Fred McGriff,
right.
I would be like, that's bullshit.
Sure,
in because he died, honestly. But in the perfect way of doing things, when you're voted on not by numbers but by your impact, I mean, total Hall of Famer, man. If he was a football player and that happened to him playing football, he would be in. I mean, he was very impactful. He might have been the best pitcher the Marlins have ever had.
Oh, I think he probably was. I mean, he played 3 years. He had 4 full years in his career, and he put together 14.2 WAR in 4
years.
That's including a rookie season where he was mediocre-ish. You know, like he went 12-6 in his rookie season and was an All-Star, and he was the third rookie of the year and came in third for the Cy Young in his mediocre rookie year. You know, oh my gosh, he was so good, and he would have had such a long career. You know. Yeah.
Incredible, but, man. Hey. Incredible. Because you're really, at that point, you're in the Hall of Fame because of, like, you know, who you – just how you conducted yourself, your charisma, your impact. But the understanding of – I think there should be an honest understanding of this guy was so special that if that didn't happen to him, he could have been an all-time great. He could have been a 15-year – I mean, just his makeup, his pitch selection, his talent.
The only thing I think that holds him off was in 2014 and 2015, he only had a half season. I think he had didn't he get an injury or something there? I don't remember exactly, but he sat out like a long time.
I think he had Tommy John.
Maybe he did.
I don't remember.
But 14 and 15.
Again, if you see the Hall of Fame as a book, and you go to the Florida Marlins chapter, how do you not tell the story of the Marlins without the Jose Fernandez story, the story of his emergence as probably the best young pitcher since Dwight Gooden, a guy that young, just with electrifying stuff, his tragic death, the game after they came back and played after he died.
I mean,
that's a huge moment. If you're a Marlins fan, that's a significant moment in your fandom and your sports history. If you're a Marlins fan, you know, so I think you've just got to reshape how you view the Hall of Fame as a whole, not just the admittance process, but the actual structure of the museum itself. Mm-hmm. And if you're a kid from South Florida and you and your family take a trip to Cooperstown, you're going to want to see the big guys. You're going to want to see Babe Ruth. You're going to want to see Willie Mays. But then you're also going to take a trip down the Florida Marlins wing or Miami Marlins wing, and you're going to see those guys.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to see the Jose Fernandez statue and stuff like that. And that's what tells the story.
Yep. Well, that's going to do it for today's Knucklemanation Podcast Show. Guys, have fun at the beach. We're glad you get. Thank you for hanging out for a little bit. If you'd like.
All right. I love you guys.
For those of you who would like to support the show, you can do so by visit patreon.com/Knucklemanation. You can become a patron and support the show. If you would like to get your own flag, you can do that at shop.spreadshirt.com/Knucklemanation. Thanks for hanging out. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Knuckahoma Nation is brought to you by Knuckahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knuckahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knuckahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @KnuckahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.